Good morning, everyone. We're here for our second matter today, A240155, Bolton versus Soderberg Roofing Contracting, LLC. Counsel, you're familiar with our proceedings. You'll each have 15 minutes for your primary argument. The appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal at your option. Please state your name and identify your client before you begin speaking and let us know how we can reference you this morning. These matters are being recorded. That is the only recording that is permitted. Counsel, why don't you finish getting settled in, and then whenever you're ready, we are ready for you.
Good morning. Stephen Little on behalf of the appellant, Justin Bolton. May it please the court, this case is about a storm-chasing roof replacement. So in October of 2021, the appellant experienced, actually in September of 2021, the property at issue here in Invergrove Heights sustained storm damage. Respondent sent one of their representatives to approach appellant to sign an insurance proceeds contract. Soderberg Roofing and Contracting, the respondent, is a Colorado limited liability company based in Colorado. And appellant entered into an insurance proceeds contract to replace the roof and repair the property. The representative, Alan Foster, told appellant that the property, the roof needed to be redecked for the shingle warranty to be honored. Appellant went out of town for business, and when he returned, he discovered that the respondent had failed to replace the roof deck, had drilled through the F-bar, failed to replace the damaged F-bar, failed to replace the soffits, improperly installed trim, and failed to replace the gutters on the property, among other things. And then the respondent invoiced appellant $20,000 and some change, $20,607.21, which included amounts for work that respondent failed to perform and negligently performed. Appellant paid respondent $20,000 and his insurance proceeds deductible to the respondent. And appellant later discovered that the respondent failed to replace the roof decking, and that as a result, under the Minnesota Building Code and under the manufacturer of the shingles, the shingle warranty was void.
Mr. Little, can I just ask you a question? With respect to the State Farm assessment of this and the insurance contract, was that to include complete new roofing?
It should have.
Well, it should have, but was it written that way?
Not under the bid that the respondent submitted to State Farm.
Okay.
Respondent should have submitted a bid to replace the roof decking, but you're correct. It was not included in the contract with State Farm. Appellant then hired.
After one more time, I
sure.
apologize. But just to that I'm clear, the claim on appeal is negligence, correct?
Correct.
You're not pursuing a breach of contract or a breach of warranty.
It's essentially negligence,
okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
And then appellant hired a gutter company to install the gutters and now has to hire a relief contractor to replace the roof again. So the appellant brought a lawsuit against respondent, and the district court heard arguments on the party submissions on summary judgment and ruled in favor of the respondent, basically saying that because appellant didn't have an expert report or expert testimony to support his position, that the respondent was negligent, that there was no questions of fact in dispute, and therefore respondent was entitled to $11,000 for the remaining contract price and costs and disbursements, and awarded ultimately around $28,000 to the
appellant. That's kind of the heart of the dispute there, though. If the district court basically said that your client needed an expert report is the crux of it, right? I mean, the order seems to go in some detail beyond that, talking about an absence of evidence from your client on some key issues. And I think from your counterpart's perspective, the expert report was only one part of that. So can you address that? Why shouldn't we read the district court's order to just identify expert evidence as one type of evidence that your client could have put forward?
Yes, I agree that the district court did have a memorandum attached to the order for summary judgment and went through all these issues, basically ruling in favor of respondent on all of them, and essentially said that appellant's declaration that was submitted in opposition to the summary judgment motion was not sufficient. In other words, the district court was weighing the evidence and making findings of fact.
But was it really weighing the evidence? I mean, let's assume for purposes of argument that the district court says you got to have some expert testimony here. The crux of your claim, as I read it, is that the defendant failed to fulfill its professional obligation in not installing the roofing and replacing the roof decking in accordance with industry standards. Where is the evidence in the record as to what those industry standards are?
It's the state building code, and that was submitted in connection with appellant's declaration. And I can cite it. The state building code requires that the roof decking be replaced, and that is section R905.2.1 of the 2020 Minnesota Residential Building Code. And the district court essentially ignored that. I think the district court almost ignored appellant's entire declaration.
So your claim essentially is that because the company did not replace the decking, that it's a negligence per se claim because it violated the building code?
Essentially, yes.
Is there some authority that would support that kind of a claim? I've never seen that before.
I didn't cite any in the brief. Let me just look at my notes here. I don't have any authority on that in front of me, Your Honor.
Okay.
But this case is very similar to Gopher Company Incorporated, where this court held that summary judgment was inappropriate where there were issues of material fact regarding the proper damages for respondents' failure to trim wrap the appellant's windows. This case should have gone to trial. The trier of fact should have made factual determinations and entered a judgment. The district court in this case decided that it was just going to grant respondents summary judgment motion in spite of the fact that appellant had submitted a declaration with multiple exhibits, the state building code, and photographs.
I'm just looking at the building code now. Can you just tell me which provision of the code? It's in your addendum at page 11, but what provision of the code are you claiming was not satisfied here?
It's a large document, and I believe it is.
Well, it's not that large. It's only 4 pages.
Well, there's a lot of words. I'm sorry. I believe it starts at, you know, it's 90501. Or point one, roof covering application.
Which, can you just point me to the 905.1 roof
cover? Point 1.1, the underlayment. That's addendum 11.
And so that doesn't mention anything about roof decking. So it says roof covering shall be applied in accordance with the applicable provisions of this section and the manufacturer's installation instructions.
Correct.
So, again, I'm going to ask the question that I asked originally, and that is, what is the evidence in the record that the defendants failed to, or the respondents in this case, failed to comply with the applicable provisions of this section and the manufacturer's installation instructions?
So 905.2 asphalt shingles, which is what we're dealing with here, it says the installation of asphalt shingles shall provide with the provisions of this section.
Yep.
And asphalt shingles section R905.2 references the type of underlayment.
905.2.1?
No, I'm sorry. 905.2 is the asphalt shingles. So if you go back to 905.11, paren 1, underlayment types,
yep.
Asphalt shingles refers to that.
But it doesn't say that the decking needs to be replaced. It talks about the attachment. That's what I'm reading here. Or maybe I'm looking at a different part of it. The attachment, the underlayment shall be attached.
Yes, and in 905.11 says underlayment for asphalt shingles, et cetera, shall conform to the applicable standards listed in this chapter. And then it refers to underlayment materials.
So just cutting to the chase, I mean, your claim is that the decking was not replaced. And I'm looking at, the building code, and I'm looking for the provision that requires, as you're saying, the replacement of the roof decking. I don't see that here.
Okay, I will reserve that for rebuttal and
sure.
Take a look at
great.
It.
Great, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you, of course.
And then there also is attached to the addendum, the City of Inver Grove Heights roofing roof sheathing requirements. That's addendum 17 through 20. Which also requires that the roof decking be replaced, or the sheathing, same as the roof decking.
And where's that in this document?
Addendum 18, roof sheathing requirements. The 2020 state residential code requires asphalt shingles shall be fastened to solidly shield desks or 1-inch thick nominal wood boards. And so it's also included in the City of Inver Grove Heights requirements. But regardless, you know, even getting beyond the roof decking, there was a number of other things that appellant alleged respondent was negligent, including the soffits, the F-bar, and he, you know, went out and took pictures of it and looked at it and said, this is not right. And the district court just said, well, too bad. The respondent has an expert report. The expert says it's okay, and therefore they're entitled to summary judgment.
And on the F-bar and the holes that are drilled in the roofing, the absence of soffits, those are claims not based in the building code, but instead based on the perception that it fell below a particular industry standard? Or
correct.
And what's the evidence in the record about the industry standards with respect to the installation of soffits or the F-bar under this kind of a construction?
I don't think there's an industry standard, but a homeowner can go out and look at a re-roofing job, gutters, soffits, and see that it doesn't look right. And there's holes drilled where they're not should be drilled. The F-bar is drilled through where it's not supposed to be drilled through. And so
I mean, but something not looking right is different than a duty of care that is recognized under the law. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, there
are plenty of things that I've seen that happen in my house that don't look right, unfortunately. But it doesn't necessarily
right.
mean that it was constructed in a negligent manner.
Right. But for example, let's say my client hired respondent to re-tile his bathroom, and went in and the tile's all askew and it looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an industry standard?
The concern seems to be that would create, you know, basically an unlimited number of claims in any construction situation based on someone's subjective view that this doesn't look right versus having some sort of measurable standard of care that has to apply to make a valid claim, right? I mean, why shouldn't we be concerned about that type of outcome with this kind of argument? If it's as you say, there's not really one standard of care.
Well, the problem here is that the district court said that we need an expert to say that this doesn't look right, that this isn't done right.
Or to create an issue of material fact.
Right, to create an issue of material fact. I noticed that my time is almost running out, but, you know, the Minnesota courts have repeatedly said that a finder of fact, if I may just continue past my time, that expert testimony is not necessary to establish negligence. Atwater Creamery, the test of whether expert report is required is whether the matter to be dealt with is so esoteric that jurors of common knowledge and experience cannot form valid judgment as to whether the conduct of the parties was reasonable.
Counsel, you will have additional 5 minutes
thank
for rebuttal.
You.
Okay, thank you. Counsel, whenever you're ready. I should have mentioned this also. There's also a button in the lower, I think that is the right corner, and you can move it up and down if you'd like.
Oh. You said underneath? Or
off to the side. Am I right?
I think maybe right on the front, the very front of it, if you step back and look down, you might see
that. Oh, yep.
I don't know. I've never had to use it.
Me either.
I was actually wondering about that before I got up here. This is perfect. Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Little, may it please the court. My name is Jordan Vassell, and I represent the respondent in this case, Soderberg Roofing and Contracting, LLC. Your Honors, regardless of the circumstances of a particular case, there is one thing that always holds true. The law requires diligence. You cannot make bare-bone assertions unsupported by the facts or the law. You have to show your work. Bolton has failed to meet this obligation, both here and at the district court. Accordingly, this court should affirm the decision of the district court for the following two reasons. First, because Bolton produced insufficient evidence to establish a genuine issue of material fact. And second, because the district court did not require Bolton to produce an expert witness, but even if it had, that would have been well within the district court's discretionary authority.
Is there discretionary authority at summary judgment, though? I mean, in this regard, I mean, it does. I mean, I agree that the district court did not come out and say an expert witness, expert report is required, but it sure suggested that some sort of expert testimony was probably the only thing that was going to cross a threshold of an industry standard was violated here, or a violation of the building code occurred here.
Well, Your Honor, generally speaking, the district court does have discretionary authority to determine whether or not an expert is needed, and that would be under an abuse of discretion review. But to your point about the requirement of the expert, the district court actually held that there was just insufficient evidence to establish a genuine issue of material fact. Typically speaking, as this court held in Pond Hollow Homeowners Association versus the Ryland Group, ordinarily, an expert witness is needed to establish the standard of care and the consequences for departing from that standard. So that is the standard. Generally, that is what's required, and that just wasn't met here. There are.
And what about a situation, as is claimed here, that there was no compliance with building code requirements? Is an expert witness required in that circumstance, or do we even need to get there?
It depends, Your Honor. There are multiple ways in order to establish the standard of care. Generally speaking, what the case law shows, there's three instances. One would be an expert witness. One would be commonly held institutions such as hospitals and schools. And the third would be some sort of external support for the standard of care. For instance, in Rattle versus Bloom Lake Farms, the court assessed whether or not a brokerage firm that was assisting two farmers to purchase a herd for the production of milk. The farmers found that the production standard was not sufficient, and the brokerage firm claimed that they did a suitable job, that they reviewed the production records. And in coming to the holding that an expert was not required, The court stated that the issue is not so esoteric that the jurors would be unable to understand based on their common knowledge. And the testimony of the director of the Minnesota Dairy Herd Improvement Association, a professor of veterinarian medicine at the University of Minnesota, a veterinarian, and an agricultural economist. In that instance, those are individuals who are not qualified necessarily as experts, but do have experience and knowledge in the field and to speak to these standards that are used and what production records need to be reviewed.
That's a non-exclusive list of types of categories of things that can create or be looked to for a standard of care, right? I mean, are you aware of any case law that says in this context, a building code or, you know, the city of Invergrove Heights ordinances can't create or be relied on to create a standard of care, at least at the summary judgment stage?
Yes, Your Honor, I would completely agree that that is not an exhaustive list. But the problem here is that they don't show their work. Even up here, they say that it violated the building code, but it doesn't cite the building code says this, applying this to the facts of this case, this is why that violates that code.
So you don't dispute that the building code could establish a standard of care. You're just saying that in this particular situation, there's actually nothing in what counsel was referring to in his argument that establishes a standard of care in this context, or at least a genuine issue of material fact.
Correct, Your Honor. There is nothing that establishes what portions of the building code they're claiming that we violated or that we did not comply with, and that is insufficient at the summary judgment stage, particularly because in order to establish a genuine issue of material fact, you must produce substantial evidence. This means that a party cannot rely on unverified or conclusory allegations, they cannot postulate on what evidence might be developed at trial, nor can they rely on metaphysical doubts about the facts. And that's what we see here. We see conclusory allegations, and that is insufficient, especially in the context in which Soderberg produces an expert witness that properly analyzed the facts of this case, specifically as it comes to the roof decking. Now, our expert went down, reviewed the house, and in doing so, he compared it to three things. First, he looked at the shingle manufacturer warranty. Second, he looked at the Minnesota Residential Building Code. And third, he looked at a letter from the chief building inspector for the city of Invergrove Heights, Minnesota. And based on all of that information, he found that the roof decking was proper, that it passed code. Furthermore, on July 24th of 2023, it passed the building inspection. The arbiter of the proper...
That was after the district court order, though. Am I correct?
Yes, Your Honor. That is correct. However, the fact of the matter is that the expert found no defects in that. And I want to address the actual details of the roof decking. Specifically, Judge Halbrooks, you asked about whether or not the entire deck needed to be replaced. And that is incorrect. What the insurance proceed contract and, accordingly, the insurance estimate required was approximately 256 square feet of the roof to be replaced. That's approximately 14% of the roof.
But are we tied to the contract? I mean, Judge Holbrooks also asked if this was a breach of contract claim or a negligence claim. And so does it matter whether the contract required the roof decking to be replaced?
Yes, Your Honor, because he may claim that this is a negligence claim, but initially, the origin of this case, it was a breach of contract, a breach of warranty, and a negligence claim. Specifically, when we're thinking about the claims to be made, there are four defects that are alleged. The roof decking, which they're saying is substandard, the F-bar that they're saying there are holes in, and then they're saying we didn't fix the gutters or the soffits. That's not a negligence claim. When assessing breach of contract, it's an assessment of the absence or existence of particular conduct. As opposed to negligence, we are assessing the nature or the quality of the conduct. Here, saying we did not do something we were supposed to do is a breach of contract. And so we should look to the contract. Unlike ordinary contracts, insurance proceeds contracts do not include the scope in it. It simply states that the contractor will fix whatever is in the insurance estimate. So we, in fact, this case, the insurance estimate is key. And looking at it, it is clear that Soderberg completed all of the repairs and all of the necessary things it needed to do in order to fulfill the contract. Next, turning to the F-bar. Now, Bolton claims that there are holes drilled in the F-bar, and that poses several problems. First, there is no evidence that the holes in the F-bar were a result of Soderberg Roofing's work. There's no evidence of the pictures prior and then subsequently saying, this was not here, this is here now. Second, as noted by our expert, there's no evidence that the alleged holes in the F-bar impact the functionality of the F-bar. Nothing says that there's holes here and it's defective. Nothing even says that, as Your Honor discussed, that this looks funny, that this looks weird, that this is off-putting, simply that there are holes. The holes are approximately 1/8 an inch. That's not something walking around your house that you're going to see and be constantly disturbed by. And again, there's nothing that suggests that impacts the functionality. Now, as it comes to the soffits and the gutters, the record does show, as indicated on Soderberg's invoice, that the soffits were replaced. The gutters were not replaced because the gutters were not required to be replaced. In this instance, again, as indicated on the invoice...
Required by the contract.
Correct, Your Honor. As indicated in the invoice, it simply says that the gutters were removed, not replaced. This is because in order to do certain parts of a roof redecking, you need to remove the gutters in order to get up there and take care of some of the work. And there was a charge for that, but we were not hired in order to replace them. Furthermore, when Encompass evaluated the property, they found that both the gutters and the soffits were in new or like-new condition. Accordingly, there's no evidence that they needed to be replaced or that they were defective. And that is insufficient for the summary judgment standard. Next, I'd like to address the expert witness requirement. Now, they claim that the district court required them to produce an expert witness. Again, that is not actually what the district court required. The district court required substantial evidence.
I will say, though, Mr. Bessel, I was looking, because I found the district court order a little odd, because it says, you know, I'll get back to the expert issue, and then never really does address it straight on. But in the section of the memorandum that deals with the F-bar, the district court says, without an expert opinion, there are no facts to support that this work was substandard. So it does seem to be, with respect to that issue solely, to be, in essence, saying, you know, you had to bring in an expert or someone to counter the opinion that was offered by your company.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. I would interpret that as the district court saying, given the evidence presented here and the fact that there's no expert, this is insufficient. But if it was this evidence, evidence A, that was actually submitted to the court, in addition to evidence B, it's entirely possible that that would have been sufficient in order to establish the standard of care. But here, there was no evidence produced, and that, in and of itself, without an expert, is insufficient under the standard required.
But if we disagree with your reading of the district court's order, is there anything at the summary judgment stage that prevents the district court from making the determination that a particular type of claim would require expert testimony?
My understanding of case law is that that is not something that would prevent the district court from doing. The district court does have discretionary authority, generally speaking, to determine whether or not an expert witness is needed.
And why if the order is as Judge Hallbrooks suggested it might read, why should you still prevail if the district court was requiring expert testimony on the F-bar issue?
Because, first off, when assessing a summary judgment review, the court reviews it de novo. So in this case, this court is reviewing the facts submitted to the court. So even if this court finds that the district court claimed that there needed to be an expert, there's no actual harm here because the evidence was still insufficient. If the district court had said an expert's not needed, they would still have the same evidence, they would still review the same information, but they would still come to the same conclusion. And that conclusion is that the evidence was insufficient to establish a genuine issue of material fact. And even sometimes...
State that differently is there was no evidence in the record that the holes that were present in the F-bar fell below a professional standard of care or that were caused by the defendant, your client, or that they resulted in any damage, 1, 2, 3, on the negligence claim.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. In fact, it's entirely possible, just like when you need to do the roof redecking, you need to take apart the gutters, that there are certain repairs that you have to drill a hole in part of the house in order to fix them. But there's no evidence to suggest that that is harmful, that that is substandard, or that is damaging to Bolton's home. And there are also instances where simply just providing an expert is not enough. For instance, in the Atwater Creamery case, the court found that the insurance agent's testimony was not so esoteric that it needed an expert. But in that particular case, they did, because it wasn't an assessment of the existence or the absence of conduct, but rather they needed the testimony on the standard of care of an insurance agent, ongoing affirmative duty to carefully check over the current coverage, to notify the business of gaps, and to search out insurance to fill those gaps. The standard of care is just not here. Now, Mr. Little's going to get up here in about a minute, and he's going to talk to you again. And I don't know what he's going to say, but I do know that he cannot point to a single case cited in this case, nor a single fact that establishes the standard of care. And that's because the standard here is substantial evidence. Bolton failed to meet this standard. He failed to exercise due diligence, and he failed to show his work. Accordingly, this court should affirm the district court's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Little, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, I disagree that the appellant did not submit substantial evidence to defeat summary judgment. His declaration says that the respondent failed to replace the roof deck, drilled through the F-bar, failed to replace the damaged F-bar, failed to replace the soffits, improperly installed trim, and then failed to replace the gutters on the property. But setting aside the gutters, the other issues, he put it in his declaration. He attached pictures of what was wrong, and the district court still granted summary judgment.
I think all of that evidence goes to the question of breach, but I think the question is, what is the duty here, right? There's no evidence that would establish what the professional standard is, and I think that's what the district court is getting at. So what is the evidence of the duty?
Well, if you hire someone to do some work on your house, they take your soffits off your house, and then they don't put soffits back on. I mean, that is negligence. It's also a breach of contract. If the contractor comes out and drills holes through your F-bar and doesn't fix it, that is negligence and breach of contract. If the contractor comes out and fails to replace the damaged F-bar caused by the storm that was covered under the insurance contract and charges you for it, that's both breach of contract and negligence. And so I think the district court focused too much on the respondent's expert report and ignored the appellant's declaration and the appellant's evidence that was submitted at summary judgment. And had this been a trial, you know, a district court bench trial or a jury trial, and we were talking about a judgment here, this would be different. But this is summary judgment. And the district court erred by granting summary judgment when there was clearly many issues of material fact in dispute. So in conclusion, appellant asks that this court reverse the district court's order for summary judgment, vacate the district court's September 26, 2023 judgment, and the November 29, 2023 judgment, which was the attorney's fees and costs and disbursements, and remand this case to district court and order a trial on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. Thank you very much, counsel, for your arguments today. The matter is submitted. We will issue an opinion within the statutory time.
Thank you.